This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We're in the middle of a series on God's calling on your life. As we've talked about, God has a calling on the life of every person here. What is God's call? God's call is that direction and focus that He has ordained for your life. It's what He wants you to accomplish in life. It's what He wants you to become in life. This is the calling of God for you, are God's marching orders. This is what your life is supposed to be about. This is supposed to be where you go in life. And God says, if you are a Christian, you need to be walking in His calling. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And you know, as with everything else, what we found out about God is, God does not require us to do something except it's for our good. Do you know there are benefits to walking in the calling of God? Amen? There are real benefits in walking in God's calling. Because the first thing that happens when we walk in the calling of God, when we follow where He's leading us, respond to that which He has placed before us and said, this is what I want for you in your life. When we do that, the first thing that happens is we begin to become the kind of person that God created us to be and the kind of person that we have to be if we're going to have the abundant life. You know, if you're the wrong kind of person, you cannot have abundant life. Now, most of you know, one of the passions of my life is fruitcake. You know that, amen? And every year, Priscilla blesses me with fruitcakes. I want you to know I am blessed. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you here love fruitcakes like I love fruitcakes? Come on. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you can take a fruitcake and throw it in the trash and not lose any sleep over it? All right. They got us outnumbered, but we're going to gain on them. Amen. Now catch this. I am blessed when Priscilla makes me a fruitcake because I am a fruitcake kind of person. Now Priscilla can make most of you 6 dozen fruitcakes and you will not be blessed. Amen. Why not? You're not a fruitcake person. And so your blessing depends on you being the kind of person that can receive that particular blessing. And when God lays a calling on our life, you know what He does through that call? As we respond to that call, as we do what it is that He's asking us to do, He uses that to mold us and shape us into the kind of person who can receive the blessings that He has to give. And if we don't go through that process, you know what it'll be like? When God has all of these blessings there in front of us and saying, this is for you. But you know what it'll be like? It'll be like Priscilla inviting you over to our house, putting out on the table 2 dozen fruitcakes and saying, go to it. And you're saying, let me get out of here. You see, if you're not the right kind of person, you can't be blessed. So the first thing that happens when we receive or accept the calling of God on our lives, He changes us so that we become the kind of person who can receive His blessings. Look at Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, God says, that's what I have to give you. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want to be blessed by God? Those are the only blessings that God has to give into your life. If what you are focused on, if you're the kind of person that is concerned mostly about eating and drinking and fulfilling the desires and the lusts of your flesh, God cannot really bless you, because that's not what he has to offer. But if you're the kind of person that's looking for righteousness and peace, the joy that comes from knowing Christ, then you're the kind of person that can be blessed. Here's the second thing that happens when we accept that call. It brings to us the fulfillment and the reward that comes from accomplishing something that God created us to achieve for his kingdom. God calls us to a work. Amen? And when he calls us to that work, he lays before us a task for the kingdom of God. And he says, when you move, when you walk in that calling and accomplish what I've called you to do, you're going to receive the blessing. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. We've read about the servants who were called to take what their master had given them and to invest it wisely and give him a return. And when the master came back and saw what they had done, the two who had done well, this is what he said to them. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You see, when you're about kingdom business, doing what God has called you to do, the way he's called you to do it, there's a blessing and a reward, because number one, God is looking at you saying, "Well done." How many want to hear that? "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. That's fulfillment in life. Anybody here ever done something and you put time and effort into it, and after it was all over, you realized it didn't come to anything at all? Didn't matter. It was just nothing. Why did I waste my time in that? Amen. But when you're doing kingdom business, catch it. You're never wasting your time. What you put into it never goes for nothing. It will have eternal dividends, and you will receive the reward of that. Praise God. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And catch what he said. He said, "You did so well with this little thing I gave you. Guess what? You know what the reward is? I'm going to give you something bigger next time." Hallelujah. Give you something bigger next time. Because we've demonstrated that we are faithful to the calling. Go over to the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. What's going to happen if we do not respond to that calling that God's placed on our life? Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. This was Esther's uncle talking to her about God's call on her life, which was a dangerous call. She knew that if she carried out what God was asking her to do, she might lose her life. But look at what he said to her. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" What he was telling her is this: look, God has called you to do something. And it's hard. It's hard for you to do. This is a young lady, doesn't have much experience of the world, and now she's being put into a position where in order to save her people, she's going to have to put her life on the line. And her uncle says to her, "Look, God brought you here for this. This is your calling right now. And if you don't do it, he will get it done. Understand this. If we don't do what God is calling us to do, God will get it done." But what did he say to her? "But you and your house, you will perish." In other words, what? You're going to miss out. Even though God will get it done through somebody else, you will lose the benefit. You know what's something that I would just dread happening? It's to know that God has called me to do something and I didn't do it. And then to look up and see somebody else doing what God called me to do and see God blessing them and know that I missed it. Can you imagine that? Man, I don't want that to happen. What God has called me to do, I want to be on it. Because guess what? I want my reward. Amen. I want it. I want to receive that blessing. Understand this. There will always be God's call on your life, whether you accept it or not. Look at Romans 11:29. Look at this. Romans 11:29. God's calling does not go away. Just because you don't accept it and walk in it doesn't mean that he forgets about it. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God never takes it back. Whatever he calls you to do, if you don't do it today, guess what? It's still there waiting for you to do it tomorrow. He never takes that call back and says, okay, you're excused. You ever had that happen? You didn't do your homework. And you go to the teacher and you give him an excuse. And what you're looking for him to say is, okay, I'll let you slide this time. Well, God is not in the letting slide business. Amen. He says that calling is still there. And if you don't walk in that calling, there will always be something missing in your life. You will never have the fulfillment in life that you want to have until you are walking in the calling of God. He created you for that calling. It will be there for the rest of your life. And so understand this. It is a privilege to walk in God's calling. Amen? It's a privilege to serve him. It's not something that we have the right to say, God, I'm going to serve you in this way. God appoints us. God says, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to be doing. We're not the ones that come up in God's face and say, God, you know what I think? I think I'm qualified to do this. So I think I'll just start doing this for the kingdom of God. God says, sorry, son, I've already got somebody in that place. Your place is over here. Pick up a broom, start sweeping the floor. Amen. You see, God has appointed us to a place, but it is a privilege to serve him in whatever place he appointed us. It's a privilege to serve him. When I played football in high school, man, I tell you something, 2-a-days in August in Tennessee, man, you know how hot it is down there? And they get you out there and they run. We had a hill. And you had to get on that hill and go up the hill and down the hill and up the hill and down the hill in the hot sun with your helmet on. It was a tough hill. But you know what? Through all of that, I said, it's a privilege to be out here playing football for Howard High School in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Amen. But I said, even though it's hard work, even though it's painful sometimes, it's a privilege. Why? Because I was getting benefit out of it. I was getting benefit out of it. And whenever we respond to the calling of God in our lives, we can know that I'm going to get the benefit from it. But catch this. If we're going to get that benefit, we're going to have to actively accept the calling that God has placed on our lives. We can't just passively sit back and wait for something to happen. We're going to have to actively accept that call. I was sitting at home the other night, and I got a call. The operator came on and said, I have a collect call for you from somebody in Liberia, Africa. And I scratched my head for just about a half a second. I don't know anybody in Liberia. And so I said, I'm sorry, I don't know anybody there. I will not accept this collect call. I didn't accept it. Now, because I didn't accept that call, the connection was never made. I don't know who this person was. May have been a long lost ancestor saying your uncle died and you just inherited $1 million. I don't know. But I didn't accept the call. And because I didn't accept it, that connection was never made. And whatever that thing was all about, because I didn't take the positive step of accepting that call, I never received. I don't think there was any benefit. But if there had been a benefit, I would not have received it. Amen? And it's the same way with us. When God comes to us and he says through his word, or he says as we listen to this sermon or other messages, that I placed a calling in your life, and we realize, yes, he's called me. He's called me to salvation. He's called me to sanctification. He's called me to perfection. He's called me to holiness. He's called me to walk in love. He's called me to serve him. As I realize that these callings of God are there before me, I still have to make the choice. Am I going to accept the call, or am I going to tell the operator, sorry, I don't want to talk to him, and hang up the phone? Well, let's talk about accepting the call. Let me tell you what God's looking for. Go over to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. When it comes to accepting the calling that's on our life, you know what God wants from us. You know what would delight his heart to hear from us. Isaiah 6, 8. Look at this. Isaiah, through a vision, had come into the very presence of God. And this is how he responded. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. When God brings his calling before us, you know what he's wanting us to say? Lord, here am I. Send me. Now you notice something. Isaiah didn't say, send me, Lord. If it's wintertime, send me to Florida. If it's summertime, Lord, I can go up a little higher. No, what? He said, Lord, here I am. Wherever you want me to go, send me. Whatever you want me to do, send me. Whatever the nature of the situation, no matter what the opposition is, no matter what it is I have to do to prepare myself, here I am, Lord, I'm ready. You send me where you want me to go. That's what God is looking for from us. Whatever it is, Lord, that you've called me to in life, here I am, send me. But how many of us ever really say that to God? How many of us really ever come before God and say, Lord, I'm sitting at the foot of your throne. I belong to you. I want you to do with me as you will. Take me and send me where you want me to be. Wherever it may be. What stops us from doing that? Why don't we do that? We know it would bless the heart of God, and yet we don't do it. Why? Let's go back to Matthew 25, starting with verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Now look at the hindrances that came into this servant's life to keep him from doing what the master told him to do. He confessed it himself, the first one. Look at what he said, verse 25. And I was, what? Afraid. I was afraid. And then the master looked at him and said, not only were you afraid, but you were, in verse 26, wicked and lazy. Amen? Three things that will keep us from accepting and walking in the call of God on our lives. Fear, laziness, and wickedness. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about them. Go over to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 4. It's the story of Moses. When he came before that bush and God spoke to him. And God told Moses, I have appointed you, I have called you to be the one through whom I will deliver my people from slavery. I've called you to a great work, Moses. a wonderful, mighty work that's going to be to the benefit of millions of people, Moses. You're the one that I've called, and you're the one who's anointed to do this. And what did Moses say when God gave him that great and wonderful news? Exodus 4:10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." What's he saying? God, I can't do this. I'm afraid that if I go and try to do this, I will fail because I can't talk. I can't talk well. Now catch this. Moses is talking to God. If anybody knows how you talk, it's God. Amen? How many of you think you're a good public speaker? Come on, let's see. Okay, amen. All right, I got two. Put them on the list. Priscilla, note our names down. Who else is a good public speaker here? Amen. Okay, that's okay. I know you anyway. Catch this. God knew exactly how well Moses could talk. From the beginning. Before he ever put his hand on Moses and said, "Moses, I've called you to be the deliverer," he knew exactly how he talked. Look at verse 11, Exodus 4:11. "So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?'" See what God is saying? I know all about you. I made you. You think you're giving me information when you tell me you're not eloquent and don't know how to talk? I knew it, Moses, before I ever put my hand on you. Catch this. God never calls you to something that he has not equipped you to be able to do. Amen. You may not think you can do it, but God knows you can do it. Amen? Because he already formed you to be able to carry out the mission that he's placed in your life. And if you were not able to do it, he wouldn't have given it to you. Wouldn't have given it to you. How many of you would hire, if you were the owner of a company, how many of you would hire as your general manager a high school dropout who has been, as Otis Redding said, spending his time sitting on the dock of the bay, and suddenly he walks in your office and say, "One day I want to run this company"? How many would you hire that? How many of you would hire that person? No, why? Because you realize he's not qualified. Amen? You got enough sense to know this person's not qualified for that job. I'm not going to put him in that job. Now, how many of you think God is more stupid than you are? If you've got enough sense to know not to put somebody who's not qualified in the job, God's got much more sense than that. If he called you to it, it's because he appointed you and he has equipped you to do it. But not only that, look at what God says to Moses next. Verse 12. "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Here's the thing. Here's what makes it work. It's not you. It's God working through you. Hallelujah. That's what he promises. He says you don't have to go out there and do this on your own, whatever it is I've called you to. All you have to do is get yourself in gear, move out where I told you to go. You just put yourself where I want you to be. You just make yourself available, and I will give you what you need. Understand this. Whenever we hang back from doing what God has called us to do out of fear, we are not walking with God, because fear does not come from him. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The spirit of fear that causes us to hang back doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. When I was playing football, the first practice or so, first couple of practices, I did something stupid. I have to tell you, something stupid. I got popped in the mouth, right on this front tooth here. I mean, here I am, you know, just on the team, just new to the whole thing. And one of these big, older linemen who had been on the team for years take advantage of this little rookie, took that elbow and went like, boom, right up in my mouth. And I said to myself, now, when I signed those papers, this wasn't what I had in mind. And so I said to myself, look, I'm going to try a little experiment here. So the next time I got down in my stance, getting ready to move on the ball, this is what I did. When I moved off, instead of using my hands like I'm supposed to, this is what I did. Got that arm out in front of my face. Let me see if I can block this. And my coach looked at me and said, boy, you can't play ball that way. You see, you can't walk in fear trying to protect yourself and do what you're supposed to do. Like I said, it was stupid. It was dumb. It only took me one time to figure out this is not what you do. But what do we do as Christians? Don't we spend a lot of our time trying to protect ourselves? From what we fear, protect ourselves? And instead of being about doing what God has called us to do, we're up there and let me see if I can protect myself. And we never respond to the calling of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what comes from God. So when we walk in his calling, instead of fear, we can have power. God had planned a great destiny for Moses. But understand this, if Moses had given in to the spirit of fear, you would never have heard of him, because he never would have accomplished anything for God. The second reason that we don't respond accepting God's call on our life. The master told that servant, you are a wicked and lazy servant. How many of us here today are lazy? Laziness will keep us from following the call of God on our life because it's too much trouble. What kind of spirit is operating in your life? Is that spirit of fear that says, oh, I know God's calling me to serve him, but I'm afraid to step out. Maybe I'll have to pray in public. Maybe I'll have to try to lead something and I don't know how to do it. I'm afraid and therefore I won't accept the call. Or is it that spirit of laziness that says, man, that's just too hard. I mean, I got to be watching TV. I can't afford to be down at that church. Or is it the spirit of Isaiah, the spirit that says, Lord, here am I. Send me. If we're going to accept his call and receive the benefits, right here and right now, we need to make up our minds. Lord, I don't know all about what your call is going to be in my life. But here's one thing I want you to know. Here am I. Send me.